The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We often anticipate scriptures in our lectionary to go in order. We may in Epiphany or in the season after Pentecost, we start a gospel and we're reading all along, pretty much almost every chapter in full in order. But Advent skips around. So last week we started in the last week of Jesus' life. Here he was, just days after his triumphal entry in Jerusalem, to waving palms and cloaks spread on the ground, "Hosanna in the highest." Last week we heard Jesus talking about the end times. And it came, as I told you, right after an entire chapter of him saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." So we start at the end of Jesus' life, because really, Advent is not about, I had a lot of people, I know I've said this a lot before, but Advent is not about getting ready for the advent of the Christ child. Advent is about how in this season we are reminded that we proclaim that Christ will come again. So here we have today, we've left the last week of Jesus' life, right before the Last Supper, and now we've gone back. So now we've gone to John the Baptist in the wilderness. The last we've heard in Matthew's gospel, this is chapter 3, end of chapter 2 is when Joseph is told in a dream that Herod is coming after the child and leaves by another way. into, he flees with his family into Egypt. And then suddenly, it's probably 30 years later, thereabouts, John the Baptist is on the scene. So we went from the last day of Jesus' life to him not yet appearing as an adult, before the start of his ministry. And, spoiler alert, the next two Sundays of Advent, we'll do more skipping around. We'll go to the center of Matthew's gospel when Jesus is the one preaching about John, saying that John is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Then we'll go to the Annunciation, but not the Annunciation to Mary, we're familiar with them from Luke's gospel, but the Annunciation in a dream to Joseph. So here we go, end of Jesus' life, here before he even comes to be baptized and start his public ministry. Then we'll go ahead and find Jesus speaking about John the Baptist, and then we'll go back to the angel telling Joseph. Why? You know, I like orderly. It's easy to preach on orderly. And you know, nothing upsets me more than, you know, something being left out. And when we're reading, in essence, lessons from chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 11, and chapter 24 of Matthew, I'm like, oh, I need to tell him everything that comes between. Not going to do that. But the reason that happens is because it is a reminder that the work of God is not orderly in a human sense. It's not something that happens, you know, one thing after another. Here, we see Jesus in the first Sunday of Advent at the end of his ministry, speaking of the end of time, something he doesn't even know when it's going to happen, when he will come again. But you can't understand that without understanding this moment in the wilderness. John the Baptist, even by their current standards, you know, right now, if we saw a guy out there, you know, in the wilderness who was wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey and preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near," we would be like, okay. And you might think, oh, well, maybe camel's hair and locusts and wild honey were more common back in that day. Probably not. All the Gospels tell us about John the Baptist. He's gone to the wilderness. He is preaching the good news. It's really before the good news. Jesus hasn't come yet into his ministry. But really, he's preaching the good news. And people flock out there to see him. So are they just, you know, oh, wow, we heard about this crazy guy out there. Let's go see what it's about. But no, it says that people were coming to him to be baptized when he said, you have to repent to confess your sins. They flocked to him. They already had the sense of yearning. The yearning for not the Messiah simply as a figure, but looking for the promise of the Messiah. In Isaiah's prophecy today, we heard this prophecy about the lion lying down with the lamb. That they're all these animals are there eating grass, and a little child shall lead them. Here, John is in the wilderness preaching to people who are saying, even when we follow the letter of the law, we don't feel like it's the kingdom of God. And so then those in power start to come. Much like Jesus spent an entire chapter before our last week's lesson saying, woe to you, John the Baptist says, when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Now, this kind of sounds like it assumes that the Pharisees and Sadducees that came out were there kind of as spies. They're there to see what this guy is doing. He's attracting a lot of attention. They need to see if they need to get rid of him. Eventually, they will. But what if those scribes and Pharisees the Pharisees and Sadducees that come out to the River Jordan, what if they're coming because they realize they are a part of the temple leadership? They are teachers. They are pious people. And maybe they come out because they are realizing how much they need to get at what the law is for, which is God's justice, God's peace. Maybe they sense what John senses, that we need to have the chaff burned away. I think about all those people who flocked to John. He must have been quite charismatic. You can't proclaim the gospel as Reverend Robin did today, or as I'm saying, without getting a little fiery. But here, in our Advent cycle, after Jesus has told us that the end will come, that the Son of Man will come again, we go back to the proclamation of John. God's message is not orderly. It's only understood, in essence, in reverse. John's preaching at the River Jordan, the baptism that Jesus received, that is all so important. But it really gets its power when you get to Christ's passion and crucifixion and death and resurrection. As much as I would like to have an orderly reading of the gospel in Advent, it's actually really good practice for us that it moves around. Because it reminds us that this isn't a book that we read once, get to the end, and it's done. Have you ever read a book, and when you're done with it, you go, oh, and then you immediately want to start it again? Prayer for Owen Meany, John Irving, is mine. I finished it, and I'm like, oh, wow, now I understand I have to go back. Here, we will move through Advent in this winding fashion. Because this coming of Christ again will be the fulfillment of it all. It will be the culmination of the entire story of God's people. We don't, in Advent, focus on the end times, the last judgment, just because we need to feel guilty. We do it because it reminds us that the story is still going and that we likely won't understand it until we get towards the end. But just because we won't understand until we get the full perspective, maybe when we get to heaven, maybe when Jesus appears again during our earthly life, but we need to try. John the Baptist proclaims, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Then he says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." One of my favorite hymns has the line that there will be fire, but Jesus says, "I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." Advent tells us the story of Jesus through these glimpses around the Gospel of Matthew. It's all to remind us that we live as a people waiting to have our dross consumed and our gold refined. That last judgment is not something to fear. It is something to await. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness tells us that we await our baptism. Can't wait to see how it all ties together. And I'm grateful for the role we all have in building up the kingdom of God. Amen.